perfect grace has brought me to this place. Because of you,
till all my fears were gone. Thank you. Jesus. Can't you just give the Lord a praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. You are the God of miracles. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives and what you've done. You're the God who sees us through the hardships. You're the God who celebrates with us through the good times. You're the God, Lord, that is steady, that is ongoing, that is always with us, that never leaves us or forsakes us. Lord, you are with us always. We give you praise today, for you're the God of miracles. Today, Lord, we have those needs. We expect, Lord, again, your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and Lord, the miracles, Lord, that will be performed today that are taking place already in our lives. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. Let's just have a time of praise this morning. Lord, we worship you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for you're the God. You are the God of healing. You're the God, Lord, of financial provisions. Lord, you're the God that sees us through hardships. We give you praise. You're Rapha, Jehovah Rapha. Lord, you're our provider. You're the beginning and the end. Welcome this morning to Carpenter Shop International Church. Hasn't the praise and worship been good today? And have you had a busy week? I think all of us have had a busy week here at Carpenter Shop. We've had a wonderful wedding. So if you would like to see the Mr. and Mrs. James Morgan, please stand. Here they go. What does it say when the bride and groom show up to church following their service yesterday, Friday? It's it says, we will walk this journey together with God. We're going to place him first in our lives, and we're going to walk this journey together. So I know that there'll be celebrations ahead for this couple, and so make sure that you are blessing them as well, just encouraging them and giving them just support. You know, whenever you have a change in a home, there comes challenges. But with those challenges, we know that God's mercy is new and fresh every day, and he's going to give them exactly what they need in the relationship. Amen. What a great thing. We also had a woman's event that we went to Faith Assembly in Winterville, and the women enjoyed that. Women, did you enjoy that? Woohoo! Yes! Yes, we had a good time. We were encouraged, and God just fed us. And then Saturday, we had the men's event. Men, did you enjoy your breakfast together? Men, did you enjoy your breakfast together? Men don't do woohoo! Men do yes! Yes. And it's encouraging to have these events open that we can all be encouraged, have a support group. And you know, there's a lot of things that take place when you get into a life group. A life group is a smaller group of people that have the same journey that you're journeying through. Men are being the head of the house. Men are choosing the right path. Men are making the decisions, biblical decisions for their home, for their children, for their lives, for their jobs, and they're making a difference because of that. Women, we love to talk. We love relationships. We love frou-frou things. We love all the pretty stuff, and we need the connect times. So when we have those times, those life group times, let's get involved. Let's get connected. Same thing with our youth. Our youth sold donuts on National Donut Day. Yes, and we're able to get rid of a lot of boxes. How many boxes? 430 boxes of donuts. That's a lot of donuts, folks. Say 430 times 12. If Anoli was here, he would probably just roll that right off the top of his head. But being that I'm not a mathematician, that's a lot of donuts. But if you're like me, and they're fresh, and they're Krispy Kreme, you can put away six at one setting. Or three on the way home from the woman's event. All right. Isn't it fun serving the Lord? You know, sometimes we have a week that's busy, but we're so glad that we have those connections and God has given us those chances to grow deeper in His Word, to have connection with other people, but to also share in other people's lives. Do we get tired? Yes, we do. But I want to read a scripture to you that just stood out to me today, this morning. And it's 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly. So then all things at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. Have you had those weeks that you think, I'm about good worked out? I'm so tired, my body is dragging. But if you will stop, as Pastor reminded me this week, stop and call on God. Say, God, I've got a busy week. I'm doing good things. My physical body is tired, so I need you to refill me, restore me, encourage me. And as you begin praying and asking God, you know what? His grace and mercy is right there to refill us, to give us that jolt of energy that we need to carry through with what He's asked us to do and what we feel God has led us to do. It's so many times we forget that. I'm going to read it again because I don't want you to forget this. And you know what? This is one of these scriptures that I need to learn. And God is able to bless you abundantly. Abundantly? Abundantly? Who wants to be blessed abundantly? All right. Yep. Yep. Or who wants to be blessed a little bit? Abundantly. There's a difference there. So that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. You will abound in every good work. I love that. And, you know, we don't need to hesitate when there are needs. We don't need to hesitate and be fearful when we pay our tithes and give our offerings, because we know that God is going to bless us abundantly, not only in the physical means, but in the spiritual means, not only in the financial means, but in the things that God's doing in our lives. You know, on paper, as Christians, it doesn't make sense. If you put your money on paper, at the end of the month, Pastor always says, I don't know how, but it is. God is blessing us. God is showing His favor on us. God is giving us grace and mercy so that when we are committed to paying our tithes and offerings, He is blessing us. And you know what? It's not an obligation. It's not an obligation. It's a commitment, and then it's cheerful giving. We are encouraged when we can give to others. We are encouraged when we can pay our tithes and offerings. We are encouraged to bless other people. And through that cheerful giving, God blesses us. If you agree with that, let's get ready for our offering today. Do I hear any cheerful givers out there? Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've given us, for the blessings and favor that you've given us. Lord, for the grace and mercy, Lord, that many times we did not deserve, but because we're yours, we're your child, and you love us, you freely give to us. Lord, help us to freely give to others, that are in need. Help us, Lord, to remain committed, not only to the faith, Lord, that you are just bountifully building in our lives, but also, Lord, our faith in you, that you will supply our needs and bless us abundantly. And we give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. At this time, you can come and bring your offerings to the buckets at the front. There's some in the back as well.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Praise the Lord. Let's just stand together in his presence one more time. Could we just begin to let something, the fruit of your lips, just begin to let the fruit of your lips give thanks into his name. Come on, everybody in the building. Father, we just worship you. Come on, have your moment right there where you are together with God. Come on, all it takes is a, Lord, I thank you, God. God, I thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness, God. Shitalaburamande. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you today, God. You're the keeper of our souls, Lord. You're the sustainer of our lives, God, in every situation. Hallelujah. We exalt you today, God. Bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000. Lily of every valley, God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to have your way among us today, God, as we worship you. Speak to us, God, from your word today. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I'm going to ask Pastor Jerry and Katina to join me here on the platform. Would you give the Hardys a round of applause as they come today? Come right on up. Hallelujah. You know, for the last couple of years, and let me just say as a congregation, and I don't do this enough, but I just want to express my gratitude to you as your pastor that, you know, a lot of times you see the activities that we're involved in. We're involved not just in Carpenter's Shop, but in many other churches in Northeast North Carolina. And God gives us opportunities, you know, to advance the kingdom. And sometimes in those changes and movements, sometimes we make decisions that that may be challenging for some, like bringing closure to a church. Last Sunday, Pastor Joy and I were not here. We were in one of our churches down on the coast, and we brought closure to a congregation. In other words, when we showed up, it was the last day that that congregation was going to worship together. And those are challenging times, and so we thank you for praying for us as we go and minister and sometimes have to make difficult decisions. Just in the past couple of years, you know, we took a church that had struggled and over in Lewiston, North Carolina, and the Hardys gave of themselves consistently for the last 2+ years. And I just want to acknowledge them today and just say publicly, to God be the glory for what you did in that congregation. Come on, give it up. To God be the glory. And, you know, we spent a lot of time, a lot of energy, not my energy, but the energy from this couple that have poured themselves into this work. And a lot of times when you're doing something, you know, sometimes you feel like, well, I prepared all this for somebody else to get, you know, to get the horn blowed or the toot toot, you know, or across the finish line. And when I made the decision, these guys were a little bit challenged, like, Pastor, you mean you're bringing this church to a close? And I said, yes. And, you know, one thing I know about leadership, to whom much is given, help me here, much is required. One day I'll stand before God for every decision that I make regarding churches, whether we sell them to another organization or whether we bring closure to them. Those are not easy decisions. But we've made a decision to bring closure to Lewiston Assembly of God, which was a satellite location of Carpenter Shop. And I can tell you, the Hardys made a tremendous impact on that community. And they made a tremendous effort to set up the next ministry that will take that. And they're doing very well. They had 30 in the high 30s last Sunday. They had 38 in the church service last Sunday. And so I just want to thank them and also to bless them. Amen. I want to give them a monetary blessing from anything except the abundance of what they left. Amen. And so our leadership got together and said, you know what? We need to bless this couple for what they've done. So would you, as I release this to them, would you just lift your hands toward them and let me pray over them? Father, in the strong name of Jesus, God, we thank you for this abundant blessing, God, that is released to the Hardys, God. Thank you for their labors. Thank you, God, for their efforts. Thank you, God, for all that you taught them and all that you did through them during this season. And we speak peace and favor and blessing and abundance above the next stage for them, Lord. And we, Father, we believe that you are about Ephesians 3:20 in their lives, that you're going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could even ask or imagine. This is our blessing over them today. In Jesus' name. Come on, give it up for the Hardys today. God bless you, my friend. God bless you, girl. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Please be praying for them. Would you do that? Please be praying for them as they transition to what God has for them at the next phase. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you today. Let me remind you before we get into the Word today, let me remind you about next Sunday. Next Sunday, we have a tremendous day lined up. We have an evangelist coming in next Sunday by the name of Joe Phillips. Now, he is a very unique evangelist in that God's anointing upon him is for comedy. I mean, he'll have you tickling your ribs. I'm telling you, he's blessed by God to be able to motivate people through the gift of humor. And he's a blessing. And I've sat under him for several times in the last couple of years. And I thought one day, you know what? I need to get Joe to come to a hosky. How many of y'all could use a good laugh? Come on. And so he's going to be with us next Sunday. And we've just labeled next Sunday as a fun day. And we want you to come to worship. And we want you to plan to eat with us. We're going to have food trucks on the property. How many of you have ever eaten from Squeaky's? Come on, anybody ever eaten from Squeaky's trailer besides me? I have. How about Old Colony Smokehouse out of Edenton? Anybody? There we go. They're going to be here next Sunday. They're going to have their food trucks on our property, and we're going to have inflatables for the kids so that they've got something to give their energy to next Sunday afternoon. We're going to have an awesome time, and Joe Phillips is going to, I promise you, he will bless you immeasurably and bring laughter to your soul. So please come next week. It will be a great time to invite anyone to church with you next Sunday, because it's going to be a tremendously fun day. So share that. Would you share that? Pray about that. And let's believe God for an incredible Sunday Funday. Amen. I want to speak to you today a message that I've simply entitled Voice Activated. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The verse is number 8. I'm going to read from the King James first. And it reads like this. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even, check this out, even, where's the word at? Even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. The NIV reads it like this. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. We live in an amazing world today that has incredibly advanced in the realm of technology. How many of you can hardly keep up with it? It's just amazing, isn't it? It's just so far advanced. I remember many, many years ago when my dad said, he said, they put this little machine up there by the cash register at Food Line. He says, I can tell you one thing, I'm not using it. Okay? How many of you heard people say that? I'm not using it. He said, you got to swipe your card and punch in your number. He said, you know what? I might need some groceries, but I'm not using that machine. Can I just tell you, my dad learned that if you were going to get any groceries, you're going to use the machine. Come on. Amen? Because things just have a tendency to advance, and sometimes even advance farther than we are ready for them to advance. You know, in our food preparation all these years, we've moved from conventional ovens to microwave ovens to convection ovens. Technology has changed the food industry over the years. In our money, we've moved from currency to checking. Have you noticed all the indicators that our government give us? We are in a coin shortage. When have we ever been in a coin shortage? Can I just tell you something on behalf of the government? We're not short of coins. We're not short of coins. We got plenty of coins. What we're short of is the ability to know what's happening, you know, in our lives, where people are making decisions that drastically affect us and affect our society every day. There's no coin shortage. You know, I was amazed just a few weeks ago. I stopped into a little convenience mart and just got a, you know, for me it's always a Coke Zero and a pack of Nabs or something like that. And I pull out a $20 bill and the lady said, "You don't have anything any smaller?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Well, I'm not going to be able to sell you this." I said, "Yes, you are." I said, "What do you mean you're not being able?" She said, "Because we're not supposed to take large bills." I said, $20 bill, last time I discovered, wasn't very large. And she just stood, I just stood there and looked at her, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to stare her down. I'm not going anywhere without my Coke Zero and my Nabs. And I just stood there, and she said, "Well, what do you want me to do, sir?" I said, "I want you to ring up my Coke Zero and my Nabs and give me the change out of this $20 bill." She said, "You're serious, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I'm a consumer, I'm a customer. You got this for sale, and I want to buy it, and I've got the proper goods to buy it, so you need to ring up my drink and my Nabs." She said, "Okay." And we smiled and we chatted a little bit more. And I said, "You know what? I don't know how your job is affected by this, but I said, you need to just be flexible here, because I said, $20 bill is not a large bill. Okay?" And you know what? We're told all these things. And we've seen that our money has changed. Currency is almost a thing of the past. It's going to become a thing of the past. Okay? Checking to electronic funds that make life so much easier, transactions that years ago would have taken you days to accomplish. I remember when I went off to Bible college. I remember we had a bank account at Southern Bank, which I still have. I've been a long time Southern Bank customer. And I remember having a bank account at Southern Bank, and I remember we moved to Florida. And so what we did was we found a bank that was under the very same system that they were, and we opened up an account in Florida. So here's what we were doing. As a young couple, two little small kids going off to Bible college, what would happen? How could we get out of a jam if we were having a tough week? And there were some tough weeks in Bible college. How could we get from family emergency money dropped to us? So we made sure we had an account that somebody here at home in North Carolina could drop $50 in the bank account, and somebody say instantly that $50 was available to me in Florida. That's what we did. That's just a long time ago. It's not like that anymore. Listen, there's no such a thing as, well, I'm going to write this check and I'm going to beat it to the... If you ain't got the money, honey, you better not write the check today, because once you sign your name on it and they drop it in there, it's going out, okay? Unless it's already out, okay? And so times have changed. Times have changed drastically. They've changed drastically. And now, today, you and I, remember in the old days when you'd say, well, you know what, I need to go by the bank and get me a printout and see what's going on. We used to go by the bank and get a printout so we could track this thing and find that little mistake. You got all of that today right at your fingertips. You get the same information your bank does right on your smartphone. And you can tell money in, money out, money transferred. You can take your phone and transfer funds from one account to another. I can hold my phone out. You know, with everything that's happening now in the voice activation arena, there's X, there's voice remote for TV, there's Ford Sync, there's Alexa, there's Siri. Amen. I can sit right here right now, and if I push the button, I'm not going to push the button because I don't want to do it twice this month, but I can say, Siri, would you please pay my mortgage payment from my Southern Bank account? All right, Wallace, I did it. Just like that. No writing checks. I can voice activate and command my mortgage payment to be paid, and it's paid instantly, just like that. Voice activation. Voice activation. The elimination of long procedures. The elimination of writing the checks. The elimination of keeping up with unnecessary paper. Amen? You know, it's just an incredible society that we're a part of. You can just, you know, you can get ready. In fact, my kids gave us for Christmas, I don't even know how all this works, but my kids gave us for Christmas the ability to take care of all the lights in the house, whether we're at home or gone, or say what if we're riding down the road and it's getting late and say, hey, I think I'm going to go ahead and turn the lamp on in the bedroom. So Alexa, turn the lamp on in my bedroom. We got one of them called Pop's Lamp and Mimi's Lamp. Amen? And so Alexa knows if Pop wants his lamp on or Mimi wants her lamp on, and we can do that. And temperature control, turning the heat in the air on or off, you can do all of that. Why? Because we live in a voice activation culture. We live in a voice activation society. I want to ask you today a very simple question. What is your voice activating? Come on, think about that for a moment. What is activated with your mouth? What is activated with your voice? I don't want to just focus on or talk about the technology of our day, but I want to borrow a principle that is completely, hear me, completely biblical, and just see how that applies to our lives today. When Jesus came here on this earth, he was so far advanced. He didn't come from our world. He came from a heavenly kingdom. Come on. He came to a very natural world. He was a supernatural coming to a natural world. He came from the Father as the Virgin Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit. He came, and listen, he demonstrated a very different order of the day. He demonstrated faith on the earth. He demonstrated wisdom on the earth. He demonstrated miracles and the miraculous power of God as he walked the earth. And then he says such powerful things like, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. Come on, church. In my name they will raise the dead. In my name they will cleanse lepers. In my name. In other words, you and I would have the ability to activate the supernatural with our voice and with our faith. Come on. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying this morning. You know, I was riding down the road just yesterday, and I've had a kind of a crazy schedule for the last 2 or 3 months. Been covering a lot of territory, covering a lot of ground, doing a lot of things, hands into a lot of things. And I just began to, this week, just begin to hear in my spirit, God says, listen, Wallace, you got to speak up more. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? He says, I want you to start speaking things more positively in your own life. And so I'm riding down the road yesterday, and I've been struggling a little bit in my feeling, and my wife was the doctor. She was the one who diagnosed me. She said, honey, I can tell you exactly where you are. You are expending yourself way too much. You're too busy. You've made too many decisions that have affected your schedule. You are stressed. And she's talking to me like a doctor who knows what she's talking about. I said, you're absolutely right. So I began to ride down the road yesterday. Lord, I thank you that I'm drinking water from the wells of salvation. I thank you, God, that you're causing me today to be renewed in my strength, renewed in my spirit. I thank you that you're going to give me, God, wisdom that comes from above, because you said, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and your word says that you will not hold it back. God, I thank you that right now you're releasing wisdom to my life to make proper decisions that will affect me. Listen, it's in your mouth, honey. It's in your mouth. Too many times we start settling for negativity. Oh, come on now. Too many times we start settling for negativity. When all the while, let me tell you something, life and death are between your lips. They're in the power of the tongue, according to the book of Proverbs. And so we need to learn how to bless. We need to learn how to release supernatural power from our lips according to the word of God. Jesus came into our sphere, our natural environment, our world, and he was actually showing us that you and I could activate the supernatural with our voice. Look at Mark chapter 11 with me for a moment. Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem and was coming in as a king. Mark chapter 11, verses 12 to 14. The next day as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if that tree had any fruit. And when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. Then drop down to verse number 20. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed has withered. Have faith in God, Jesus said. Truly I tell you, and Jesus is speaking principle here. He says, if anyone says to this mountain, somebody say mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, check out what he says now. Whatever you ask for in prayer, believe and that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything, now here's the part that a lot of us don't get corrected. He said, if you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, he commands them right then, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins also. What is a mountain? He said, you've got a mountain in front of you. What is a mountain? A mountain is something that stands in front of you that makes your pathway, your journey, insurmountable or uncrossable. In other words, it impedes your progress forward. It stands in your way, and there's no way that you can pass through, no way that you can cross it, and you need for it to be gone. And Jesus said, voice activate. Amen? How many times have you been in the midst of transactions that you knew and believed that this transaction was God ordained, this transaction was in the plans of God for you, it was supposed to be executed and fulfilled, and all of a sudden things get a little messy, a little hairy in the process, and things begin going a different direction than you had anticipated that they go. In other words, there's a mountain that has risen up in your journey. It stands in the way of progressing to that which you know God has called you to do, or that which you believe God has ordained for you, that which you know to be his will for you. He said that if you speak to these things and believe in your heart that they will be gone, they will be gone. He goes on to say that after you voice activate, after you speak faith, then you have to remain confident, come on now, in your heart of hearts that this is a done deal. Amen? This is a done deal. Now, he did say that he wants your heart pure. Listen, I don't know how you feel about this, but you just can't go around spouting off words and say, well, the pastor said if I just say it and believe it. No, I want you to get the whole picture. The pastor did say if you say it and believe and do not doubt, but the pastor also said that your heart is one of the key factors here. You got to have your heart in the right spot, honey. You got to have purity of heart. Some of you are claiming and believing and blessing and possessing and everything else, but you got unforgiveness and bitterness seated, rooted deeply in your heart, and you won't give it up for nothing. No wonder God's not blessed you. You speak in tongues, run around, shout, sing like a bird, but if you got unforgiveness in your heart, God is not obligated to bless you. Come on now. He's not obligated to bless you. You need to make sure you get your heart pure. He said, if you have issues of unforgiveness going on in your heart, you have to let them go. In other words, bitterness will hold you back from seeing God move the mountains that are impeding your process. We spend too much time speaking about them. We complain, we grumble, we bellyache, we gripe about the mountain. And he's calling us to speak to our mountains. I like what Jensen Franklin said many, many years ago. Jensen Franklin said, it's time that you stop complaining to God about how big your mountain is and start speaking to your mountain and tell that mountain how big your God is. That you are messing with somebody who is serving a God who does not fail. And that you have the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all, as we said earlier in Ephesians 3:20, that you could even ask or imagine. Listen, if you've got your heart properly aligned, you need to access the blessings of God, the provision of God, the abundance of God, as Pastor Joy said earlier in the service. You need to access those things, but you need to make sure you have a pure heart. Amen? God's looking for pure hearts. Speak to your mountain. Speak to the mountain of an ungodly employee that is holding you back from progressing on your job. Speak to the mountain of a relationship that is challenged because of someone's rebellion and hard-heartedness. Speak to the mountain of addiction in your life and in the life of your children, and command the evil one to get his hands off your sons and your daughters. For the promise of God to your sons and your daughters is that they would prosper and be in good health, even as their soul prospers. You need to come against those evil things that are attacking your family and stand in the gap and say, Lord, I just thank you, God, that I'm on a household salvation. I'm trusting God to save my whole family and to bless them abundantly. And stand on God's word. Speak to the financial mountains in your life. Now, if you're not paying your tithes and giving offerings, don't go claiming a whole lot in the financial realm. Come on, I'm just telling you the truth. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, then don't put God under pressure concerning finances. Okay? You $5, $10 God to death and want him to move mountains so you can be blessed financially. Some of you don't know what it's like to write a check for $1,000 and give it to somebody. Some of you don't know what it's like to write a check for $500 and give it to somebody. Some of you don't know what it's like when God speaks to you and says, hey, buy them an automobile. Come on. How many of you have heard God say crazy things like that in your spirit? Come on, give them a car. Amen? I've given cars away before. You know why? Because God said so. You say, wow. Listen, if you'll begin to listen with the ear of the Spirit, God may cause you to do things that are a little off the chart, okay? But when he does that, you know what he's trying to do? He's trying to teach you principle. Trying to teach you principle. If you give little, what can you expect? Little. If you give much, then you can expect what? Much. Because it's a direct correlation between gift and heart that determines what God's going to do in your own life. You know what? I'm not in a position where I'm just, you know, somebody said this. They said, you know what? I don't want to make God feel like I'm just giving so that I can get. Can I tell you why I give? So I can get. Amen? Let me just let it out of the bag, okay? Why do you give? Because it's a wonderful thing to give. But I love God's plan. He says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Will I cause men to pour into your bosom? Why do you give? So I can get back. Come on. Some of y'all carnal Christians need to lose it. You give because you're expecting something in return. And you say, well, man, I can't believe the pastor said that. Do you know you can search from Genesis to Revelation, and the only time God ever said from Genesis to Revelation that it was okay to put him to the test was in giving. He says, why don't you bring your tithe and offering into the storehouse? He said, why don't you put me to the test, saith the Lord? Why don't you see if I will not throw open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing? God said, I want you to test me in this. Come on, where have you been? Let God put you in a position where it hurts you sometimes to give, because he wants to bless you abundantly. He wants to bless you abundantly. Learn to speak to the mountains in your life, no matter what type of mountains they are. There's so much power in your words, in your voice. The woman with the issue of blood, Mark chapter 5, actually spoke to her own self. I don't know if you've ever looked at this passage like this before, but she actually spoke to her own self, and she activated her own faith. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 to 29. Jesus is among the crowds around the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible says, and there was a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding, hemorrhaging, if you will, for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all the money that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Watch this now, because verse 28, because she thought, come on, she began to think. She said, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. What did she do? She began to activate her own faith. If I can just touch the hem, I don't even want to get down there and feel like I've got to make contact flesh to flesh. She said, if I can just get that little tassel hanging off of his garment, if I can just make some sort of contact with the master, she says, I know that I will be healed. And the Bible says immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from that suffering. Let me tell you something. You have got to get to the place of desperation to God, that if I can get in his presence, oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I'm going to church Sunday morning. I'm going to lift my hands in worship. I'm going to receive all that God has for me. I'm not going through life this week any more frustrated than I've been. I'm going to receive all that God has for me. I'm going to let his blessings flow abundantly in my life. I'm going to let God open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing upon me so that there will not be room enough to contain it. I'm going after God. Come on, somebody. I'm going after God. Sometimes if we're not careful, we'll reduce this thing down to something that we just go and we just participate in as just people who look at stuff. Listen, when I come into church on Sunday morning, I'm coming to receive something from God. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord, because in his presence, come on somebody, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures evermore. I want to get into the house of God, worship him, allow my spirit to be inspired so that I can step out of this place, and on a Monday when I go back to work, the devil will say, oh my God, he's been to church. Come on now. He's done God with the people of God. He's on fire. He's got the power of God moving freely in his life, because God wants you to get into his presence so that when you go out of this world into the world that you work in, that you'll have something to give them. Amen. You'll have something to give them because your voice, come on, your voice is ready to activate faith. Amen. The psalmist said this. He said, why sit downcast, O my soul? Put your faith in God. She said to herself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And she spoke faith.
She activated faith. She moved on to what she spoke to herself and followed through. The Bible says that after healing, virtue left Jesus. He asked, "Who is it that has touched me?" And she came and she laid herself at his feet and she trembled and she wept and she told the whole story. And Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." I'm looking for some people in the 21st century who are not ashamed to have faith in God, to say, "You know what? I'm not worried about this world system. I'm not worried about everything that's coming down through the pipe. I'm trusting God." Amen. I'm trusting God. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord, who's a strong tower. For the righteous run to him, and what do they find? They find safety. I'm going to tell you, you can look at all kinds of stuff that's going on in this world, but honey, you better cling to Jesus Christ. You better cling to him, because the world will let you down, but Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, "I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not." God's not changing for you. God's not changing for me. He's not changing for anybody. Come on. He's the same. He's still the God who hears you when you pray. He's still the God who answers you when you call upon his name. And he's still the God who honors that when you speak something in faith and believe it, you can take it to the bank, sir. You can trust God. Come on. You can trust God. Now that you and I can see the power of voice activation in our society, we see that. We can understand it a little better. We can relate to it. And anybody can speak. Anybody can speak. I love to watch my little grandkids. My little Ava. You can be doing something in the house, and she's 6 years old, 7 years old, and she'll call on Alexa. "Alexa, play," and she'll name her song. "Play such and such from Elevation Worship." And she can pipe in the music just at her voice. And I sit there and I think, you know what? Even as a young child, she is learning the principle of voice activation. She's learning through the things that society has placed in our life. Voice activation. I was talking to some of the family when the wedding of James and Elaine, we were talking about sprayers. You know, I grew up spraying, man, where you... Listen, I had to count rows. I had to get to the end. I didn't have a cab over me, and there was no music and no air conditioning there. I had to get to the end of the row, and I had to count, turn on the 10th row or the 12th row or whatever, and turn around. And if I had just a little bit left, I had to bring that boom in so that it would not spray too much on the rows that I've already sprayed on. You know what they tell me now? All these sprayers are set up that nozzle has such a sensitivity to it that if that nozzle has sprayed that chemical over that row of plants, it will not spray it a second time. It recognizes that that row has already been sprayed, and so automatically that nozzle will turn off and will not double spray that row of plants. Man, we've come so far. You can pull into a field now as a farmer, and you listen, you can take your hands off the wheel, sit there and play on your phone and do the work, because they have GPS systems on these pieces of equipment now. And it basically just does all the work for you. Amen? This is a different world we live in. But we should understand that some of these things that we see in the natural, the spiritual is just a mere reflection. And if you look at it, we're living in a culture today that we have to understand that we see things happen at just the word that we speak. And you go to the Word of God and you realize that when Jesus inhabited this earth, he went about teaching us the power of voice activation. Anybody can speak. Anybody can speak, and they can know in their heart and believe in their heart that they're speaking the oracles of God, the truths of God, and that you can take it to the bank. Now listen, this doesn't become manipulation. Don't you think for a minute that God's going to allow you just to manipulate him and say, "Well, you know, he's going around, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, confess it, possess it." Listen, there's so much abuse in that arena. So much abuse. But if you've got the ability supernaturally to discern, come on, church, to discern the will of God, is it God's will that you be sick? No. Is it God's will that you carry this infirmity that you have? No. And so why would you not speak to your body and command your body to align itself with the plans and the purposes of God and call on Jehovah Rapha to heal your body? Amen? That's perfectly okay. That's perfectly okay. And so we need to learn that this is a principle that God has for us. When you come into a situation where somebody else is sick, you know, just watch people. I was down at a little store down the road from us not too long ago, and there was a guy that was having a real hard time, James, getting about. He had an unusual gait, an unusual way of ambulating himself. And I thought, man, he's got some stuff going on. I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's some sort of, you know, birth defect or whatever. But I had never seen him before. And I just simply walked up to him. I said, hey, man, I'm just going to the store to pick up something. But I realized that sometimes when you just go to the store to pick up something, that God may have a higher cause for you to need that item just right now than you even imagined. Because I run into this guy, and so I just put it right out there in the open. I said to him, I said, hey, obviously you got something going on in your body. And he looked at me and he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, would you tell me about that? And he began to tell me how he was born this way. And he said, it's been a lifelong struggle. And he said, I guess I've learned to cope with it. I said, well, I don't believe that you have to live with it. I said, I believe God can change that for you. He said, what do you mean? I said, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a Christian. And I said, I read in his word that he supernaturally heals people. And I said, I know that he supernaturally healed me before. And I know that he has supernaturally healed others through my prayers before. And tears began to come down his face. And he said, you know what? He said, I've been coming to this store all my life. And he said, nobody, help me here now. He said, nobody has ever said anything to me about my need for healing. And tears just run down his face. I said, man, throw your hands up in the air right where you are. And he just stopped. And in faith, he didn't look around to say, well, throw my hands up in the air. He just threw his hands up in the air. Tears are coming down his face. And I just began to minister in the Holy Ghost to him. And I just began to pray in the Spirit. I just began to pray in the Spirit over him. Tongues were coming out of my mouth. And I wasn't worried about anybody around me. I wasn't worried about embarrassing him or me or anyone. I was worried about making sure that I had done what the Holy Ghost had set me up to do. And I began to speak over him. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would be Jehovah Rapha to this man today, that you would touch his body in the strong name of Jesus. I speak healing and blessing and provision over him in the name of Jesus. And man, his body began to shake, and he just began to convulse a little bit, and tears just began to flow a little more. I said, tell me what's going on in your body right now. He said, I don't really know, but I've never felt like this before. I said, listen, I don't know if I'll ever see you again, but I said, you get into a Bible-believing church, and you stand before God and thank him every day. When you start praying tomorrow morning, get up and say, Lord, I thank you that you are healing my body. I thank you that you are healing my body. See, there's the working of miracles. What you and I want is for everything to happen just like that, like a bolt of lightning. Can I tell you something? It doesn't always happen that way. He takes you from glory to glory to glory to glory. Some of you have given up a long time ago, and you stopped praying for something that God intended for you to have a long time ago, and the reason you don't have it is because you stopped praying. Listen, I'm not going to stop believing that God is going to supernaturally do something in my life. I'm going to let him take me from glory to glory to glory to glory. Let him work it out. Let him work it out. Well, I guess this is just the way God wants me to be. Well, you go ahead and settle for second best. Come on, go ahead and settle for second best. I don't know about you, but I want to receive all that God has for me. Listen, friends, we're talking about activation today. We're talking about how we can activate the presence of God. We're not talking about a mystical or a magical function that you play with like some game. We're talking about moving upon activating faith in the Almighty. Let's go back to the text for today. The very first verse that I read to you, Romans 10, verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you.
The word is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. Faith is inside of you. The Bible declares every man has been dealt what? A measure of faith. Everybody that's born into this world has a measure of faith. And it's up to you and I to increase that faith. How has faith increased in my life? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. Some of you don't have any faith because you don't sit under the word of God enough. Some of you don't have enough faith because you don't take in enough to sharpen your faith. You got to receive more in the realm of the Spirit. You got to receive His Word. You got to get together with people in like precious circles and just be inspired in your faith. Amen? Take in more, and then you'll have more to give out. Amen? What I want you to understand is that God has given you and I an entire book of promises from Him as our Creator. And He wants you to know that His promises are voice activated. Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, come on, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and you're saved. Listen, you can believe all day long, but if you never profess with your mouth, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and I trust Him for salvation. If you never express that from your mouth, then you're going to have a promise that you never accessed. God is the one who created this principle, and He wants you to release your faith from your mouth, and He wants you to align yourself with His principles. Remember what He said about your vocal profession of Him? Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus said this, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Jesus says, if you won't confess me, I won't confess you. Amen? Everything God has in promise is vocally activated. Amen? What God is doing in the house this morning is trying to stretch you in your faith. Listen, I listened to the message last week. God's trying to stretch you in some of your faith. I've watched the message that I've preached in the last few months. God is trying to stretch us in our faith. We are living in very, very challenging times. And let me tell you something. It's not going to get any easier, honey. It's not. I've been telling you that for a long time. It's not going to get any easier. You're going to have to understand in this life and in this society in which we live, your faith is going to be called into question sometimes. And you're going to have to stand, because after having you done everything you can to stand, you're going to need to stand with your loins girded about with the truth of God, with the breastplate of righteousness and the oil of the Spirit in your life. You need to stand with everything that you got. Stand for righteous' sake. Amen. This is a God principle that man has access to as a child of God. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. In the beginning, check this out now. Let me paint a little picture for you as we come to a close. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the beginning now. Check this out. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God is just hovering. It has the imagery here, if you study this passage, it has the imagery of a mother hen brooding over her chicks. She's just brooding over them. She's just making sure that they're under the coverage of her wings. And she's brooding over them. And nothing is happening there until someone speaks. And God says, let there be light. And there was light. Nothing happened until when? Until God spoke. He activated. You and I can learn from this principle. You and I can look at something. We can watch something sit there for weeks and months and even years. You can watch a child who's gone wayward. You can watch a child who has an addiction or something like that. And you can just say, oh, I'll tell you what, I've heard so many people say, I prayed so many prayers over her. Oh, I've prayed for this one for a long time. Listen, your brother just yesterday at the wedding, I just walked up plainly, just walked up boldly to him. I said, so you decide you want to live? And he just stopped. He said, see there, people always judging me. I said, oh, I'm not judging you.
I said, did you decide that you want to live? And then he realized how serious I was. He said, yes. I said, well, I can tell you how to live, how to extend your life a whole lot longer than you ever had planned on extending it. He said, how's that? I said, you come to my place every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and I'll increase the years that you live on this earth. Okay? In other words, what I was trying to do is deposit faith in his spirit. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be ugly. So you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? It's no secret. Her brother overdosed here just a couple of weeks ago. He overdosed on drugs. And so when I see him, the first thing comes out of my mouth. So you decide you want to live? Man, he's a nice preacher. No, I just go straight to the heart. You decide you want to live? You know, yeah, that's what people are always doing, judging me. I said, ho, partner, I'm not judging you. I'm telling you that I can help you live longer. Okay? Because what I've got in my life works. I've got the Lord Jesus in my life. He's the one who turned this old boy around, who was doing nothing in the world in his life but drinking and drinking and drinking and carousing and carousing and lying and cheating and doing ugly things. But God got a hold of me and turned my life around. The Lord Jesus Christ saved me, pulled me out of the pits of hell, and gave me purpose. He gave me purpose, and now I'm 60 years old, and I'm still discovering, guess what? God has purpose in my life. He's not finished with me yet, and I'm trying to make it as hard to get to hell from a husky as possible. Come on. We need to make it as hard to get to hell from a husky as possible. Go ahead and go there. Because I'm looking at this young man, I'm thinking, you know what? I need to acknowledge him, but I also need to acknowledge where he's at and what happened. And I said, I promise you, sir, if you will come see me every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, I'll teach you how to live longer. He said, okay, okay. Now, he's not here. Does that mean I'm going to give up on him? Nope. Nope. In fact, you tell him today, Pastor preached about you Sunday. Let him go back and look at the archive. Hello, I hope you see the camera today. We talked about you, okay? We talked about you. And can I tell you one more thing? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross of Calvary for you so that you can have abundant life. Yeah, we're talking about you. We're talking about you. Tell him to look at the tape. Amen. Voice activate. It's time for Christians to come out of the closet. Amen. It's time for Christians to stand up and be counted for righteousness' sake. It's time for Christians to activate their faith, to lay hands on the sick and watch sick people get well. It's time for people to go to Walmart and stop worrying about what's on your shopping list and let God anoint you with the power of the Holy Ghost while you're shopping so that you can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. God wants to use you. Amen. Speak life. Proverbs 18:21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Romans 4:17 says that he is the God that calls things that are not as though they were. You and I live in a time in history where we see before us in the natural world that we can voice activate anything. All this technology is wonderful. But you better learn how to voice activate the power of God in your life. Amen? Voice activate the power of God. Worship team, come join me here. Come on, let's stand to our feet, everybody. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Come on, I need some Holy Ghost folks just to start praying. Come on. Come on, prayer team, come on to the front. Need some Holy Ghost folks just praying. Come on, pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Come on, guys. Pray in the Spirit as you're coming today. Hallelujah. 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 God is good. God is good. Come on. Guess what? What are you doing, Pastor? I'm trying to show you how to activate the presence of God. You can stand there and look like a bump on a log if you want to, but if you'll begin to worship God, come on, begin to let some things come from your mouth, you will see the waters before you become trouble, and God's Spirit will begin to move. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. Go ahead and offend somebody. They're offended anyway. Come on, speak, speak, speak. Speak. God, I thank you that you're our healer. I thank you, God, that you're Jehovah Rapha.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost in here today. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place today. I feel the Holy Spirit in this place today. Go, listen, the waters are very troubled. If you need healing in your body, step out of your seat right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Where's Susan Mitchell? Susan Mitchell, come here, dear. Hallelujah. I'm going to take authority over this spirit of fear. Listen, you had an attack this week. Somebody tried to come into your house, and I heard about that. But I want to tell you something. I want you to throw your hands up right now. And the word of God to you today is, Susan, that not a weapon, hear what the Lord is saying, not a weapon formed against Susan Mitchell will ever prosper. God says, I have dispatched my angels around you to guard you in all of your ways. He's the glory, the lifter of your head. He's your protector. He's your shield. He's your buckler. Susan, Psalm 91 is your psalm today. Go home and read it today over and over and over again. He that dwelleth in the secret hiding place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He will deliver me from the noisome pestilence. Father, in Jesus' name, let Psalm 91 be the banner that flies over her house today and every day, God. Thank you for watching over Susan Mitchell today, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That spirit of fear that has tried to knock on your doors, gone into the pits right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Hallelujah. 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 Father, right now, in the matchless name of the Savior, Lord Jesus, we come before you today, God, knowing that you're Jehovah. Rapha, Rapha, in the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole, be set free, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you are the glory and the lifter of our heads. You're the glory and the lifter of our heads, God. We activate faith in this room today. Faith, God, to see the mountains moved and cast into the sea. That thing that is insurmountable, that thing that is causing a blockage, the Lord says, I'm moving it out of the way right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just lift my brother to you right now, God, thanking you that your name is Rapha, the God who heals. And Lord, I thank you that you position him at this season of his life, God, to be a divine recipient of what you have for him. Lord, you're the healer. You're the blind man healer. You're the leper cleansing man from Galilee, God. We come before you today, God, releasing faith to align with our brother's body right now. God, we speak to sickness and say, be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone in the name of Jesus. May the supernatural charge of the Holy Ghost enter your body right now in the name of Jesus. Let it be done, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let it be done. Listen, if you've got a prayer need, come on, guys. If you've got a prayer need, listen, we've activated faith in the room. Faith to believe God for the impossible. Faith to believe God to do exceedingly abundantly. Come on, above all we could ask or even imagine. Step out of your seat. Let someone pray with you this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Come on. Come on. Step out of your seat. Hallelujah. There you go. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, listen to what you're singing. I believe in you. Hallelujah.
I believe in you.
You're the God of miracles. Listen to what you're singing.
I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Hallelujah. Jesus' strong name. Lord, you touched Clarence Beasley just a couple of services ago. But I'm asking you, God, for a double portion. A double portion of your anointing, Lord God. A double portion of your power, Lord God. A double portion of your victory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let it be done right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. Long life will I satisfy you, says the Lord. Show you great and mighty. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us for accepting church as usual. Forgive us, God, for just being settled with the mundane, the trivial, the average. Forgive us, God, for not activating faith in our lives. Forgive us, God, for walking past people every week, every day of our life, and not acknowledging that you may want to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Forgive us, God, for not lending our ear to your spirit, saying, slow down, stop. Pray for this person. Forgive us, Lord. We want you to activate us in this lost and dying world. We want you, God, to release us, God, in this community. Release us as agents of faith, agents of the supernatural, agents of the miraculous, Lord God. Come on, how many of y'all want that today? I want to be used by God. Come on, lift up your hands right now. God, we commission by the Holy Ghost today people, God, who are released into this community to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. People who are released in this community, God, to activate faith in the lives of people, to say to those things that are not, let them be so in Jesus' strong name. Hallelujah. We give ourselves to you, God, afresh and anew. Afresh and anew to be agents of yours. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody need healing in their body today? Besides me, I need a touching body right now. Anybody? Anybody need healing in your body? Come on, stand. Come on out. Come on to the front. Healing in your body. Thank you, Lord. Anybody need healing besides me? Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Come on, stand right here across the front. Need healing in your body. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, lift your hands up if you need healing right now. Lift your hands up, Father. Come on, bring me some oil over here, Pastor Joy, if you would. Bring me some oil. Hallelujah. Shipa sata papoko sota. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, Pastor Joy, anoint all these people. Right across the forehead. Praise the Lord. Right across the forehead. Oil is a type of the Holy Ghost. Oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, as she anoints you with oil, here's a prayer of faith. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I believe that you said, call upon the elders of the church let them anoint with oil. And you said, God, in your word, you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. God, I'm thanking you, God, that the prayer of faith that we utter today will cause a sick person to be made whole in the name of Jesus. We activate our faith, God, not in some dead God, but in a supernatural God who brings life and gives abundant living in the supernatural realm. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We release our faith, God, to be recipients. Recipients of healing. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe in you, Lord.
You're the God of miracles.
Oh, you're the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Hey, Joy, lift up your hands, girl. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift this little one to you, Lord. I thank you, God, that you said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. I thank you, God, that your hand is already on this little life, that you have divine plans. God says, I've got divine plans for this child. This child is not just any child, says the Lord. This child is supernaturally called by me even before it's born. Father, I thank you for a missionary. I thank you, God, for one that shall take the name of Jesus to the ends of the earth. In the name of Jesus. God, do your work in this little child, Lord. Hallelujah. I bless her papa today who's working. But God, you just caused them to align themselves, God, with your plans and your purposes. See the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. You tell your husband that the preacher said God's got his hand on his life, okay? You're the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Anybody else pregnant in this building? Anybody pregnant besides this gal right here? Anybody in here pregnant? Anybody never been pregnant but want to be? Come on. You can't have a child. The doctors have said, listen, they said my son and daughter would, that's why they adopted three kids. They said she'd never have a child. But God, come on. But God said she would. Amen. September. Spent thousands of dollars trying to have a child. Never worked. All of a sudden, she's pregnant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, the Holy Ghost is in this room.